My daughter has talked about Krispy Kreme donuts for the last 2 months, so we're glad to be here with you all today. You should have received if you haven't received a handout, just raise your hand, make sure everybody's got one. I wanted to talk today about a common problem and struggle that we all have, and that's forgiveness and feeling like we're forgiving and knowing when we make mistakes how our God sees us. So let's start today with an opening question. Why do you think we have so much trouble, difficulty forgiving ourselves? We don't deserve it. Uh-huh. Guilt. Yes, shame. What normally happened when we did something wrong and say when you were, you know, 6, 7 years old, what normally happened? We were what? We were punished. And I think for a lot of us, we're still waiting for the punishment. So we have a trouble forgiving ourselves and accepting someone else has already taken that punishment on himself for our sake. Let's be reading from 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. It's interesting that John is writing to Christians, people that have already been baptized. These are people that have already begun their walk with Christ. And it's important to remember as we read this together. Starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now let's go back to verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 together. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. So how is God described here in verse 5? Light. What does the word light mean? What would you think it would mean? Perfection. What was it? Yes. Yeah, purity, holiness. It means purity in this context. What do you think darkness represents? If light means holiness, what does darkness mean? Evil. Evil, sin. Okay. Now, look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. By using the word walk here, John is talking about how we live our lives every day. He's talking about a lifestyle, what you do every day. Okay? And that's very important to understand for the rest of 1 John. What would you think it means to walk in darkness? Living in sin. It's walking. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living every day. We'll talk about the difference in a minute between another thing. If I say I have communion with God, if I say me and God are have a good thing going on right now, in other words, saying I'm a Christian, but I'm living a double life, what does John call me in verse 6? A liar. Doesn't pull any punches, does he? Yeah, a liar. So that is very, very straightforward. Now, question number four, why is my lifestyle, how I live my life each day, important when it comes to my faith? What's the connection between faith and how I live my life every day? Okay, you're proclaiming what you believe by the way you live, okay? But why is that so important? Exactly. You've heard the old saying, actions speak what? Loud words. We are walking sermons, and people are looking at the way we live. Okay? I was not a Christian until I was 24 years old. Okay? I lived a very sinful life. Drugs, alcohol, the whole nine yards. Okay? My family had a problem with alcohol. I'll share this later with you, more in detail, hopefully another day. But as a non-believer, I believed in God. But I would look at people that call themselves Christians, and I would look at how they live. I would look at how they respond. And you know what? A lot of times I was like, really, like, this is a joke. Because people were not consistently living what they were saying. And to me, we're not perfect. We understand that. All of us struggle with sin. But I think what John is talking about here is how you live your life every day. He's talking about a lifestyle. He's not talking about sinless perfection. Because all of us are struggling to become more like Christ every day. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But he's how we live our lives every day. We are walking sermons. Where you go tomorrow, where you go to your school, whether it's a job, you know, wherever you are tomorrow morning, you are God's representative. You're God's representative there. And people are looking at how you live. Number five, what is the difference between living in sin and struggling with sin? What's the difference between living in sin and struggling with sin? Okay. Trying to do better. What else? Okay. Okay. Living, you're right on track. Walking in darkness is living in sin. If I'm living in a lifestyle where I'm consistently rebelling against God, consistently not wanting to do what the Lord wants me to do in my life, I have no desire to pray, I have no desire to seek God in my life, I'm not going to church, that's living in sin, where there's no desire to change. It's a heart issue when it boils down to it. Now, the other thing, struggling with sin, that's where it's an issue again of the heart, where you have a desire to say, I want to do what's right in my life. I want to follow God. I want to obey Him. But I'm struggling. That's all of us. We're all wrestling and struggling. I used to think that you had to be perfect to be a Christian. I used to think, misunderstand, that you had to live a perfect life. Well, none of us can. None of us can. I'm thankful that Jesus has paid the sin debt, and He has lived a perfect life. Now, look at verse number 6. Let's read verse number 7 of 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, what does it mean to... We've talked about what it means to walk in the darkness. What does it mean to walk in the light? Trying to do better? Okay. What else?
Walking in forgiveness.
We say God is? I'm sorry?
Grace plays a role.
Yes. Grace very much plays a role in that. We'll talk about that in a minute, how the blood of Christ, that text is so important to understand.
There's a fellowship there.
that's what changed my life 20 years ago. So somebody told me, God wants to have a relationship with you, Chris. And I'm like, you guys are kidding me. It's not religion. You know, going and checking in, cha-ching. Okay, I've done my stuff today. I've gone through my ritual. God wants a relationship. The creator of the universe. Wow. That is, that just blows, and it still to this day blows me away. What two things happen in verse 7? If we are walking in the light, look in verse 7 there. What are two things that happen there? Two things. We have fellowship with God. What does it mean to have fellowship with Him?
Following His Lord.
Do what?
Following His Word.
Following His Word? Okay. What does the word fellowship here mean? What do y'all think on this side? Y'all ought to be quiet over here. This isn't a library, y'all.
I have a picture of Adam and Eve's in the garden with God before the sin. And there was a dream.
Yeah.
That they were in the light. And then after they sinned, they had to go hide. And now they were in the darkness. So that walking with God is a daily part.
That is an interesting. I've never seen that. I never thought about that from that perspective. This walking in the light and how God walked with them in the garden. That's an interesting text in Genesis 3. Yeah, I like that. So we have two things: fellowship. We have a family. Why can't I? I used to think, you know, I've met people when I worked in the inner city, Mobile, Alabama, in the ghetto. We'd go around and invite people to church and. We would encourage people to come to church with us. And I have people say, oh, I don't need church. I can watch TV at home. Now, what do you think the right response to something like that is? What's the right response? How do you respond to somebody that says that? I don't need church. I'll just stay home and watch television. Can you be a Christian by yourself in your own home without any other fellowship with other Christians? Is it possible? It's possible. I can understand if someone's sick or debilitated, they're not able to get out. But we need each other. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ without a family. You've got to have a family. And this is where we learn how to love. We learn how to love each other. That's what God created it for. It's real simple. So, if I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have a family. And what else? She said, we are purified by sin. This passage is really amazing. And we'll talk about here. Look at number 7, the question number 7. How does having fellowship with each other here at Forest Mill help us walk in the light? Charles Hodge said, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints. I love that. But how is having fellowship, how has it helped you in your relationship with God, having a church family?
Encourage
you, build you up. Yeah, we all have days when we feel God is 10,000 miles away, we don't feel close to God, and we go to a church and we, around our brothers and sisters, we hear a message that encourages or whatever, somebody says an encouraging word to us. Never underestimate the power of an encouraging word. When you say something to somebody, let's edify one another. Let's not tear each other down. Let's edify. Number 8, we said two things happen when we walk in the light. We have fellowship with one another. In other words, we have a family. And in verse 7, we said that when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Now, look at the little box at the very bottom. Let's imagine that right now you are in the shower. Now, that's a scary thought if you're here at church and you're in the shower. But let's imagine if you're in the shower. What would happen if someone would open the door and throw mud on you? Yeah. If you stayed in the shower, the mud would come off, right? But if you would go after the person, the mud would stay on you, correct? In the same way, if I say I'm a Christian, but as John says, I'm walking in darkness, I'm living in sin, my sins will stay on me as if I was in the shower and someone threw mud on me and I ran after them. Make sense? Yeah. But if I'm walking in the light, trusting and obeying Jesus, confessing my sins daily, my sins are being washed away daily, just as if I was in the shower and someone threw mud on me and I stay in the shower. The word purify here in the continuous tense in Greek means it's daily. It's a daily thing. So if I'm walking in the light and I'm following Christ and I'm confessing my sins and I'm God washes me clean every day. The blood is fresh on the altar every single day. And without the cross, we are nothing. We are lost. We desperately need the cross, the blood of Christ every day to cleanse us from sin. 1 John 7 changed my life, and I know it's changed a lot of people's lives. And I remember this girl in Greek class used that illustration, and I have used that illustration all over the world. I just love that illustration of the mud and the shower. It makes perfect sense. Now, let's read verses 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, and notice John keeps using the word if. What does the word if mean? Conditional. It's a choice. So if, what, sir?
We have an alternative.
That's right. We have an alternative with the word if. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. If I'm walking in the light, does that mean I am perfect? Anybody here perfect? Okay, good. I'm in the right place. What does it mean to confess my sins to God? What does it mean just to confess? To agree with him and say what? I've goofed up, Lord. You're right, and I'm wrong. To confess. Now, is confession for us or is it for God? Us. Some people think it's for God. Okay? And let me ask you a question. When you were a child, when you misbehaved and did wrong, what did you feel before you confessed your wrong to your parents? Guilt. Felt terrible.
Scared.
And after? What did you feel? You felt great. You felt relieved. Confession is for us, and it restores that relationship with God. God doesn't stop loving us. He doesn't give up on us. Contrary to what some churches teach, confession does not convince God to forgive us based on how well we perform. I remember seeing churches in Tanzania where I would watch people in other assemblies of God over there that they believe very strongly in letting everything out when they pray. And they would just practically scream at God. And when we would teach on prayer over there, we would say, is it appropriate to scream at your physical father? And they'd say, oh, of course not. I would never do that. Then why would you want to scream at your heavenly father? You don't have to scream. Talk to him. He's your father. Here's Satan's favorite lie, the box there in number 10. Some people believe the false lie that if you sin after baptism, then you lose your salvation. But as soon as you confess your sins, you receive your salvation back. If that were true, this is what your day would be like. You know, I'm saved, you know, but I sin, and now I'm lost. I confess, now I'm saved again. But now I sin again, and I'm lost again. Can you imagine what your day would be like? I mean, where's the joy? Where's the confidence? Where's the faith? Where's the faith there? What does 1 John 1, verses 7 and 9 teach? If we're walking in the light, in a lifestyle of following and obeying Christ, confessing my sins, the blood of Jesus does what? Continues to cleanse me of my sins daily. What if I miss a sin? Well, David said, remember what David said in Psalm 19? Lord, forgive me of my hidden sins, the ones I can't see. And we do have them. We all have them. Things we can't recognize or see in our lives. And just as we do not kick our children out of the house when they make a mistake, God doesn't kick us out of his house. He doesn't say, Chris, I've heard it too many times, get out. Aren't you glad he's that patient with us and has a deep, deep, deep love for us. greater than anything we can experience.
Do what?
Amen, brother. Now, if you know, if you've never obeyed the gospel and you've never been baptized, confession's not going to help you. Baptism's where you enter that relationship with Christ, okay? And the confession comes after. Remember, John's talking to people that are already Christians. Number 11, what would you say to those Christians who say, I confessed my sins, but I just don't feel forgiven? What would you say to them? I don't feel forgiven. Lack of faith, okay. What else? Come on, this side. You guys got to get better here. I hear more from this side. What do y'all think?
That's what Satan wants you to think.
Okay, that's what the devil wants you to think. I don't feel forgiven. Really didn't give it to God, okay. Is it good to base your faith on your feelings? Is that real good? Why is that bad? Every day. But you know what? Who stays the same? Jesus Christ is the what? Same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. We do. We struggle. We have days when, and I'll be quite honest with you, you know, people think missionaries are super spiritual people. We're not. Went down to a missionary conference down in Sao Paulo in 2009, and you know, among 50 missionaries in the Church of Christ, more than another one problem was, they didn't spend enough time, daily time with the Lord. But these are missionaries. And I've struggled immensely in my walk with God. Struggled immensely. I'm not focused sometimes like I should be. I get distracted by my to-do list. Y'all have to-do lists? We get distracted, don't we? We live in a culture that is in a hurry. Brazil's the same. Africa is calm. But here, Brazil was very fast, and here it's very fast. And we get so distracted. But we have to remind ourselves, what is the most important thing that I can do with my time today? I can love God. That's the most important thing I can do with my day. And you can talk to God anywhere. Talk to him in your car. Talk to him in your heart. Talk to him wherever you are. And he's listening. And he longs. The Father longs to talk to us.
You don't have to say it all out.
Do what?
You don't have to say it all out.
Psalm 139 is my favorite psalm. Before a word is on my heart or on my tongue, Lord, you already know it. You already know what I'm thinking. You already know what's going on. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 now. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But, and I'm so glad there's a but there, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Who is our advocate that defends us when we sin, and why does he always win? Anybody here a lawyer? Any lawyers here? A lot of law offices in Manchester. Man, Jerry was driving around yesterday, and I was like, wow. Okay. He's recording our thing today. So who's our advocate? Jesus. Why does he win? Was the cross enough? It was. He said it's finished. We can't add a thing to our salvation. We receive it by grace. We walk in it daily. And aren't you glad he already paid for it? And he's going to win every time because that's already paid for. Now look at the bottom question here. Does God ever reach a point where he gives up on us and stops forgiving us? What if I confess and struggle with the same sin over and over and over again? Excuse me for interrupting you, but who told you that you deserved forgiveness the first time you came to God? When you were baptized into Christ, did Jesus know all the sins of your past? Yes. Does Jesus know every sin you will commit in the future? Yes, he knows that too. Do you mean that God saved me knowing all of the mistakes that I've made in the past and will make until the end of my life? And he's willing to still call me his child, even though he knows all the mistakes I will make. Yes. That's a powerful paragraph. And you need to meditate and think about that. Now, this being the case, since God will forgive me, does this, you know, give me the license to go out and sin as much as I want? Of course not. Of course not. Go back to the walking in the light stuff, huh? Lifestyle goes back to that, always, 1 John. The issue is, what type of attitude do you have about sin? If you say, okay, God will forgive me, tonight I'm going to go out and get drunk, is this the right attitude? Of course not. Or if you say, well, I'm such a horrible sinner, you know, God could never forgive me. Is that the right attitude? The right attitude is to say, I take sin seriously. I don't want to hurt God. You know, if you really love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. If we truly love and care about God, we're not going to want to do something that would hurt him. I want to live my life in purity and holiness. When I do sin, I want to confess and make things right. You know, that's the heart of David. That was the heart of David. If you notice about his life, it wasn't a perfect life. He struggled. But yet he, if you notice in his life, he always comes back to confessing. I don't want to kill the Lord's anointed with Saul. I don't want to, you know, do those things that will hurt God in my life. Powerful thoughts to think about today. Does anybody have any thoughts or things they want to share regarding what we're talking about? Yes. By the way, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in Mark 3, verse 20? What does it mean when Jesus said, in that context, all sins will be forgiven except for the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Remember in that context in Mark 3, Jesus is teaching and the Pharisees are saying it's by the spirit of what that he's driving out demons? Beelzebub. Remember? And Jesus' whole point was, if anybody says I'm driving out demons by the power of demons, they're obviously not somebody that has faith. So therefore, somebody that doesn't have faith or trusting in him cannot be saved, cannot be forgiven. And that's why that's the unforgivable sin. You know, somebody call you up and 2 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, hey man, I feel like I've committed the unforgivable sin. No, you haven't. If you're concerned about forgiveness in your life, you're not on that path, that point of no return that some people reach. And do I know when somebody's at that point of no return? No, I don't. But when somebody's at a state where they don't want to talk about God, don't want to be care about forgiveness, that's a dangerous state to be in. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I'm struggling, and I ain't got all the answers, and but I do know this, that the most important thing I can do every day is spend time with him. And I'm seeking to try to do that better in my life. And I need to, if I have to pencil God in my agenda or my schedule every day, then that's what we need to do. Because that's the most important thing you can do with your day. Anybody else have any comments or thoughts? Something, or maybe a personal story you want to share? Let's have a prayer. Father, we are thankful this morning that the blood is still fresh on the altar today. And as imperfect and as sinful as we are, you still accept us because of our faith and our trust in your Son. Lord, purify us, make us holy. Help us be the people that you've called us to be. Help us make Jesus look good in the marketplace tomorrow, with our neighbors this afternoon, with every person we encounter, Father, because we realize every encounter we have with people, Father, is a holy moment. And we know that you're working in the small details of our lives. We give you glory. We give you honor today for the cross. And we thank you that you are gracious and merciful and forgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've met my wife, Therese, could you raise your hand? She's right over there. And I don't know where my daughter is. She's somewhere. It's a blessing to be with you all today. Looking forward to being with you.
Chris, thank you. And there's some people that came in and didn't get to meet earlier.
Okay.